Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Real and Kristen Vapor Psychic Hour. Well, we were able to connect successfully today on time, so that's a good thing. And last show, we were talking a little bit about how to conduct a reading, and perhaps we'll get more into that today. But we do have a caller that we're going to take in just a moment. First, we want to invite callers and listeners to join us here on Blog Talk Radio. You may follow us here and on Facebook and Twitter. We hope that you do. Those accounts are linked on our Blog Talk Radio profile, the Neil and Kristen Baker Psychic Hour. 914-338-0164 is the call-in number. Do press 1 if you'd like to speak with us. And the number for more conversation is 562-596-7818. But we do have a caller, as I mentioned, so let's bring this caller on the air. 650, hello.
Hi, Kristen. Excuse me. Hi, Neil. How are you both?
Hi.
Fine, thanks. How are you?
I'm doing okay, thank you. This is a follow-up call. We had talked many months ago, I think back in April. I had my house on the market, and Neil felt very strongly that it would sell soon, and something about a doctor or a PhD would be involved in the sale of the home. I don't know if you guys recall this conversation.
I recall the conversation.
Yeah. So I'm just following up. You had asked me to let you know what happened. Unfortunately, my home did not sell. It was on the market from, I think, a few months, April to June. Didn't sell, so I took it off, and it's back on the market, and it still hasn't sold. It's, like, been a couple of months. So just wondering what's going on, if you get any impressions.
Why did you take it off the market?
Well, because my agreement with my agent at that time was only for 3 months. I don't like to do the 6 months just because, like, if I realize that I don't like the way the agent is performing or if something about it, the person, I could easily, you know, just say we're done, or I could extend the contract. So the guy wasn't really doing much anyway. There's differences in agents. Some are more
aggressive than others.
Not so much aggressive, but put in more effort and make phone calls and or just do little things like to remind other agents, hey, this guy really didn't care. He just put on the market and that was it. He was done. And so it's back on the market with someone else. And, you know, it's like I said, it's in a decent neighborhood. I think it's priced well, you know, appropriately. So it's just a little frustrating. And I'm just wondering what you guys feel about this.
Well, what's your name? We don't remember that. We got to get your date of birth as well.
I'm sorry. Oh, sure.
Okay.
Zara. Zara.
Okay.
Zara.
Okay. And your birthday? Zara. Zara. What's your birthday?
1965.
So you just had a birthday, well, a month ago.
I did.
54 years old. Okay. And so you like this agent better that you're dealing with now?
Yeah, she's putting a little bit more effort in trying to, you know, do what she can in terms of getting a sale. There's just so much, you know.
Go ahead.
Sorry? No, I was just going to say so much of real estate is luck, just finding the buyer who wants to be in that location at the right time and, you know, has the funds. And so I really think a lot of real estate is just pure luck, right timing.
Is the house remodeled or is it more a fixer-upper or something?
No, it's not a fixer-upper. It's ready to go. It's move-in ready. It's been remodeled, you know, and
what state
has a lot of charm.
She's in the Silicon Valley, aren't you?
Yes, I am.
What's the house going for?
I don't think she... I last time we asked,
yeah,
she didn't...
I think, well, it's above a million.
It's above a million. And I can't remember... this is a house you're occupying and want to move somewhere else?
Exactly. I'm currently...
You have a daughter, if I'm remembering
correctly. Exactly. That's right. You have a great memory. Yes. There was something, I think Neil had come up with something about who likes to do puzzles, and I said, oh, that's my daughter. And he said, there's a connection here. And I said, yes, I'd be moving closer to her once I sell the house and buy something else. I'm planning to move closer to her. And so at that point, he basically said the plot thickens.
Okay. Did I give a time frame for the selling?
Yeah. You said it would happen very soon. Like, in the next, you thought like within the month or something. Yeah.
What month did we have this conversation?
I believe it was April. Yeah.
April?
It didn't sell.
April or May. Yeah, it was earlier in the year when I first had it on the market.
Let me ask you just a couple questions. Was the former real estate agent a female?
He said she already said it was a male.
It was a guy. It was a male.
Who you have now?
Female.
You have a female now.
A female now.
Okay. So, you know, I'm still sticking to the premise, one, that's going to sell, and two, that there might be still be somebody that has some connection to a PhD, whether they are a PhD or their wife or husband is a PhD or their father was, mm-hmm. but there seems to be some nature. Let me ask you two questions. Do you know anyone with a PhD just in your own field, in your own life?
Yes, I do, my husband.
Mm-hmm. Oh, what does he have a PhD in?
Computer science.
Okay. So let's look at this. The PhD energy, when I stated it, might mm-hmm. be connected to the vibration of reading you and gathering information like the puzzle and feeling the PhD. And I said wife or husband just now, and you said, oh, in fact, in my world, it's my husband. So we have mm-hmm. to assume that maybe the PhD was part of the vibrational field work mm-hmm. of trying to find this, and it's related to your husband.
Can I just interject? I remember, though, if I'm not mistaken, that there may have been a doctor that looked at the home at the time, around the time that you called. Was that true? Is that true, or am I remembering wrong?
No, what happened was an agent who had a PhD came, and I called in just to let you know about that.
Right. So then, I'm remembering right that there was a PhD that came to the house.
Who came to the house?
Somebody.
An agent, yes, who wanted to show some clients, but I don't think they ever came. Or did?
Oh, but,
gosh, it's so fuzzy.
But that resonated at that time, right?
At that time it did, yes.
Yeah,
so
I'm remembering
okay,
correctly.
Okay, so Zara, the reading isn't inaccurate. It's not inaccurate.
Mm-hmm.
There's enough going on mm-hmm. to give it a good measure of validation, a good proportion
sure.
of validation.
Of course.
So mm-hmm. what? Here's the problem. The original real estate agent may not be mm-hmm. a friendly tribal member in your life. It you may have not found the right fit.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
that's
why
be,
I chose yeah. someone else. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that might be the shadow that we didn't quite analyze correctly. That would otherwise obstruct temporarily the sale of the home. Now that you have
mm-hmm.
a female,
mm-hmm.
we might have better luck. I think the mm-hmm. homes were, you know, obviously assuming that, yeah, the home is probably going to sell, and that doesn't take a psychic. But when mm-hmm. we look at the parts of speech that included being psychic pertaining to the theme of the house being sold, we have a lot mm-hmm. of hits here. So I would say that we're going to continue the dialogue that is going to sell soon. When did this woman take it on, this new agent? When was the date?
When was the date that it listed or I signed the agreement with her? I'm not sure what your question is.
When was it listed?
The 8th of August.
8th of August by this female.
Yes. So
it's been about almost 2 months.
Exactly.
And did you speak to her? When did you first meet her before she listed it?
I first met her a little before I listed in April, earlier this year.
Okay. Well, it's been on the market. So it's been on, now it's been on the market for about
5 months.
Two months. With this last agent, it's 2 months.
Yes.
The new agent, 2 months.
And yes. Has she reported to you about what the complications are when people are looking at it? Does she think it's priced too high? Is there something with the landscaping?
No, I think it's the floor plan. It's not like suitable for everyone, just because not all the bedrooms are on the same floor. And I think that's mostly it. It's just the way it's laid out.
Is it how many square feet is it?
It's about 2,300 square feet.
2,300.
So, yeah, because
24.
In Silicon Valley, a lot of homes that would seem to be more modest in another area, mm-hmm. the prices are much higher.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a computer friendly environment. A lot of computer.
Yeah. Oh, of course. People. Yes.
So is this a single story house?
A two story.
Two story. Oh yeah, because you said the top story
level.
Very roomy, or is it you go up the steps and it's just basically bedrooms?
When you go up the steps, it's basically bedrooms. Yeah, a small hallway leading two bedrooms, basically one on each end of the hall.
Okay, and how have the sales been in the surrounding area?
It's taken longer now. The market is not as strong as it was a couple of years ago. It's taking longer on the market, but they're selling below a certain level.
Okay, so here's the thing, Zara.
Wait, below a certain level? What does she? You mean?
Yeah,
they're
going like
under what they're listed for?
Yeah, well, when I the price point, like I don't, you know, this will give away a lot in terms of price, and I don't want to go out there. But yeah, obviously, the higher you go, the harder it is to sell. Is basically what I want.
Okay, so there's a discrepancy between what you're asking for, and what you may get. Okay, so not knowing before in the former reading that it was the Silicon Valley,
yeah,
I don't recall.
Yeah, we did.
Oh, we did.
Yeah.
Well.
Yeah, you did. And I recall you saying that I'd get basically close to my asking. Yeah.
Yeah, and it would seem reasonable. But maybe somebody with a PhD is going to move out there.
Mm-hmm.
And the home can still, you said it's 2,400 square feet.
Yeah, about that.
Mm-hmm.
23. If you include the attic space, then it becomes about 2,400.
Well, you know, a home like that can accommodate even a single person. If they want to just live in a nice, large home.
Oh, of course.
When you get into a four-member family, it gets a little tight. But it's there. It works. It can still work. I'm still seeing someone highly educated. And mm-hmm. we'll just refresh the reading by giving it another you know, things slow down. We're not in a very high peak period of buying homes, but a lot of people go right. seeking homes at this point because they think they can maybe get a better offer. And
right.
so someone's going to venture out. I feel someone's venturing out towards the place. So let's
okay.
remove this again for another month or two.
Okay.
Hopefully sooner than that. But it's
yeah,
just,
I hope so too.
Yeah.
Okay. All
Good
right.
Luck.
Thank you so much. Thank you very much. Have a great weekend. Bye bye.
Thank you. Bye. Yeah, I guess the housing market has decreased in the past couple of years.
Yeah.
But you would think something in that area would sell. I mean, but perhaps location too. I mean, you know, it's
Silicon Valley has kind of reached its highest peak. It's the computer companies
the
and everybody's leaving,
yeah.
and it's not. A lot of people are leaving more than buying, but it still has places where there's activity, of course. But what I've read, the Silicon Valley is.
But people, I mean, yes, the boom is over, but you would think that, I mean, it's still a desired area to live. And people still, there is still, you know, the industry of computers, sounds like it's what her husband does. We have other
yeah.
callers that are from that area. So people, it's not like, you know, it's.
Well,
you
have
you know,
to consider a lot of things.
Like the Midwest, where industry has totally died, you know, like the car industry, for instance. I
well,
mean,
the
there's
whole
still
country
a lot
is,
going on.
There are sections in the country, but California is split. A lot of people are moving out because it's too expensive. They can't afford to live here. And then yet it's a very desirable state to live in. But it's expensive.
Very.
And,
I mean,
the property taxes on that area is going to be very high once you.
Well, yeah, because it's because of but the property tax is generally the same in California. I mean, there are variations by county. But the problem is when you're getting into properties that are worth $1 million or more, then it gets, of course, very expensive to pay the property tax, even though, you know, there are other states that are much higher than us. Illinois is a very high property tax
yeah.
state. So,
But again, you know, we're trying to combine this with an analysis of the market, which we're not licensed to do, but still what we're doing is we're also combining it with some sense of a psychic attitude with the PhDs and things like this, that contribute to the kind of psychic impression that might help to reveal when this house is going to be sold or what's going to happen.
Yeah,
that's the thing about readings. I mean, when you're lucky, you're psychic and it hits right when you say it. If you're not so lucky, you're psychic and the time frame is not right.
Right.
But
that has all kinds of different contingencies, all kinds of different contingencies, such as the energy of the person that's being read and something that might come in to block it, whether it's to do with that person directly, or something in their environment, not due to the person directly.
Yeah, I should probably not listening, but...
No, she's gone.
But you see, what we didn't get was the husband's birth date because he was part of the reading.
Yeah, I don't know why we didn't do that.
And that might have revealed something because there could be something causing a confusion in there that we've overlooked.
I don't know why we didn't do that.
But a lot of times, the time delay can be a result, not of doing an incorrect reading, but a result of the energy that the person is putting out.
Well, that's
and
what
that
I said.
Can become a block, yes. So
or in something in their environment where it's not exactly directly due to the person. It's not due to the person's own energy field, but it's something that is within their scope that's causing a problem. So, you know, it's tricky to be able to figure it out.
Other things that may happen is that actually forces, conscious forces in the universe say, you can't leave yet. If you leave now, you're going to get in a car crash or you're going to go into the wrong place.
But I think
so there's
that
a stop that gets
right.
put out that may be overlooked by a psychic.
But I think in this case, there's not... I don't think that's a factor. I think it's more something to do with the block.
No, but we're looking at variables that cause blocks
yeah.
in a reading. I would say that for every person that says it didn't happen, there's three people that say it did happen in different, separate kinds of readings in my experience. But the...
But I mean, it's true. Someone's, I mean, a person's attitude, how they're receptive to the energy within a reading, how they conduct themselves is all going to be part of the contingency on what makes a prediction stick as far as a time frame is concerned. So if you're dealing with someone who has tremendously negative energy, and even, you know, if they're seeking psychic help, but putting down the work or saying, well, you know, I don't believe this is going to happen, that can really, really alter the outcome. So
it can. And even in a good, clear reading, things can happen that are unexpected.
Right. True.
That the radar
no matter was, what's happening with the person's energy field.
Yeah. It's not reading. I mean, like we were talking before, you could be an absolute God-given divine prophet and never be wrong, or you stumble along with certain gifts and you do your best and you have more hits than misses, but it's never a perfected medium in terms of what you're giving to a person on a psychic level. You try your best. There are so many different contingencies. You've got chakras and karma and attitudes of the person's psyche and all kinds of things. Then what happens is sometimes there are outside influences. Like a person's energy field can be totally clean, but they're interacting with somebody who isn't, and that becomes a pollution to the person's energy field, which may not be detectable until that other person is revealed.
Revealed in the dialogue, or if it's a psychic, yeah, or if it's picked up on a psychic level, which may not happen.
It's
in the course of a reading.
Sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't. You know, there's so many levels of human error aside from the psychic's misrepresentation of actuality. There's so many aspects of human error involved in the components of how life flows forward. And sometimes you can detect that, and sometimes you can't. But the problem, one of the problems in giving a psychic energy is that there is an accidental region where accidents can happen. Now, a good psychic can see those accidents beforehand, but sometimes accidents in the psychic element aren't as easily discernible as they might be when the psychic can see the things and avoid. I told a guy once not to drive fast going up a mountain road. He was going to be driving up the mountain road, and I said, look, drive 5 miles slower than you normally drive up that road when you go up there this time. And he would tend to have a heavy foot on the gas, but he said, well, okay, I will. And what happened was a car in front of him, a pickup truck or something, a tire fell out of the truck and came bouncing towards his windshield. Would it probably would have killed him. And because he was driving 5 miles slower, he said he had probably 3 seconds to dodge that tire. And that was it. I didn't say the tire's going to fall out of a truck. I just said drive slower. So the energy was a cautionary vibration.
Right, not
specific. But it saved his life.
You know, I have to mention to you, I forgot to tell you, you know, a woman was killed. That same thing happened. A tire flew off a Dodge last week by our house on 405. Oh. Was killed. Well, we're in Southern California. People know. But anyway, same thing happened. She was killed.
I don't want to put out negative energy around our environment. But the attitude of accidents like that happening, there was also this kid saved a woman and her daughter, I think, from drowning in a strong ocean current, and he saved them, and yet he was swept to his death from the current. And that was recently in the news. Now, what is that? You know, responses were it was a hack, you know, an act of heroism, and he sacrificed his life. He did. He virtually did. He was going into a dangerous situation, and he knew it. But his impulse was to save, and he probably anticipated he would get out of there as well. But again, there's an attitude that sometimes accidents are prompted by action. You have an action, and then you have an
where
accident.
Where was this person? Where was it?
No,
was he in his home location, or was he on a trip?
I'm not sure. I just saw the article.
Because I know a case where occurred, a mother saving her child, and they had moved temporarily to a different country, and she saved her child from drowning and was killed.
Oh.
But, you know, it would be interesting to know whether, you know, because she should have been home, and there was trouble in the marriage, so this person left for some time away from the marriage, and then ended up dying on that, you know, trip.
Now,
so,
again, real quickly, do we have a caller?
No, she's just listening.
Again, real quickly, I was giving a reading in a very, very beautiful home, and by accident during the reading, I happened to see the gardener outside working on the garden, and this wasn't part of the reading. It was just coincidentally walked by.
He wasn't one of your props.
Yeah, he wasn't. No, he wasn't.
He wasn't part of the reading. He just walked by, unlike your other.
I can't afford those props anymore.
Paid actors.
I used to pay a guy with a long white beard to ring a doorbell, and I would say before he would ring the bell, I have a feeling a guy with a long white beard is going to ring the doorbell, but he was $10,000 an hour, so forget that. No, this was a different situation. So I looked out the window, and I saw this guy, and in the middle of the reading, I just blurted out, "That guy is a past life, was past life for you." He goes, "Well, that's my gardener." I go, "I know he's your gardener, but he's past life, and he's in the same tribe, and he's here to protect you." And then the guy dropped the reading, and he said, "Okay, all right, that." And now I got a chill down my back. And he explained to me that he saved his child from drowning in the pool. Nobody else was out there. The child wandered outside, fell in the pool, was probably going to drown within a minute or less, and he was there and saved the child. Nobody else knew the child was in the pool. The child was the crawling baby to under a year old. So why they were so negligent, I don't know, but it happened. Anyways, that's an example. Now, that's a strong energy field, but it all seems so accidental. I mean, the whole thing is prompted by an accident. You know, a doctor saving somebody on the operating table is not an accident. A fireman saving somebody from a burning house is not an accident. But when you have these, quote, accidents that seem to come out of nowhere, there's no psychic realm. You know, if someone says, "We're going on a trip, do you see that it's going to be okay?" That's different than someone saying, "My spouse is going under a very difficult operation. Are they going to be all right?" See, one doesn't give you any clue
that there's going to be a danger, as opposed to there's a risk. I mean, obviously there's risk when you travel, you get on a plane or a train, or there's risks just being in the world. But yeah, it is more accidental.
Here, a doctor would be an agent that might be responsible in the performance of the operation. So you already have a given object there, a subject there. But when things come out of the blue, and there's no reason to believe that there would be an accident or something wrong, the question is, how does a psychic perceive danger when it could only come up by an accident? There's no basis for anything to be dangerous to happen.
Yeah, there's something that just happened that just reminded me of that. It was like a old-fashioned plane, some old antique plane where it landed at the airport. It was flying back to the airport, I think, where it took off and it crashed, and it like multiple
everybody
people
died.
Died.
Did that
you hear
pilot
about that?
Was from Long Beach.
Yeah.
Yeah, and there were like 5 or 7 people, 9 people killed. And,
and
the person didn't have really good training or something about the pilot.
I didn't read anything more than the headline, so I don't know anything about it. But I saw that and I took note because it, you know.
But then again, in a matter of after the fact, I was doing a reading with a woman once, and she just came. She was by herself. She sat down, and I sat down. And immediately I said, "You've been the victim of a terrible accident." She didn't look like she had an accident. I go, but this has wounded her.
Meaning there was
heart.
Nothing physical
nothing,
that revealed that she had been.
And then as I got into it, I said, this has wounded your heart and has destroyed your life, this accident. And I was looking at her and I was saying, and I was even thinking to myself in the back of my mind.
Why am I saying
what,
this?
And I said, it's such a, but as I got into it and felt it deeper, I said, and it was such a loss. And then the woman started crying. And what happened was, then she said, okay, you can stop there. She said, the reason I came to you is because the day I got married, my husband said he was just going up to the store to get cigarettes. Why? He didn't need it. I don't know why he was going. We're at a party, but he had a nicotine habit and he wanted a cigarette. Nobody was smoking. He went up to get a cigarette and he was killed by a drunk driver. On my wedding day, he wasn't coming back. He wasn't coming back. Then we got word that he was struck and killed on my wedding day. And she wanted to contact him, which we succeeded in doing at that time. But that, see, I mean, that's unfortunate because it's happening after
terrible.
The fact. But let's say, let's turn the clock back. It's 3 days before the wedding. She comes for a reading. Now, a psychic could say, don't let your spouse or your husband leave.
Well, the question is, though, was it avoidable? Was it something that could have been avoided, or was that predestined that no matter what happened, whether she had a reading prior to the wedding date, would it have been avoidable?
Well, that's a good question, because as the reading progressed, I started to examine the birth dates and everything.
That was my next question.
Extremely negative numbers.
Between the two of them or the individual numbers on his?
Well, both.
Both had negative.
In her number and then between the two.
What about the wedding date specifically and how it correlated to the birth dates?
Oh, well, that was to us corresponding and even in the time frame of the year. So with great regret, I said, this was inevitable. It was an inevitable accident. People were working on a deeper energy of karma.
So you believe that even had she come for a reading prior to the state, that it really wouldn't have been avoidable? Or maybe it could have been, maybe there would have been an incident.
No, that's
that
a good
could have been softened.
Now, because if she had come before the event, then that means that what is otherwise
destiny
can be altered. There are different types of destiny. Some are locked in. There's nothing you can do. I once told this man that his friend was going to drown the river. Nothing you're going to be able to do about it. It's going to happen.
So in this case, obviously she didn't come before the wedding. She came to see you
That's
after the wedding.
So
probably was a locked in destiny.
If she had come before, that might have been an indication that it could be altered.
Right.
And coming before, it could have been altered. Maybe it was triggered by something she did that was good. So whatever the forces out there that rule these things, maybe it would have allowed her access to before. Now, people could say, all of this is bull. The universe is cruel and indifferent. This is ridiculous. What's the difference? Her life was shattered. Well, I agree.
Then you have to
think.
The
only thing I have to be in awe of is karma. That's when you resort to the issue of why things happen.
Well, and then going into their past lives and what was the cause of this outcome and these in their lives, in their current lives.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Obviously, the guy isn't currently alive, but what was done in the past life to cause this outcome?
Well, this, you know, perfect metaphor. Somebody was walking, and a brick from a building that was erected 150 years ago, finally the brick
dislodges
and it falls on the guy's head, as opposed to a guy walking under a building and a bricklayer currently misplaces a brick and it falls out of his hand and it lands on a guy's head and kills him. I mean, when we get into the attitude of past, present, how deep does karma go? I mean, it's interesting, because what psychic energy does is it begins to give an explanation to why these things happen, if you buy into the fact that psychic energy has some legitimacy, and why things occur from way back in time, as opposed to something that's happened on a different current. So current has an energy time frame.
Well, it's interesting too, because someone can have a couple of successive lifetimes where they're an average person, and the karma that they're dealing with in those lifetimes is maybe what would be deemed as normal karma. And then, you know, one, two lifetimes, then the third lifetime, they're victims again. So, you know, how someone can come back and have a pretty normal life and then come back again, normal life, yeah, and come back again and then have something drastically violent shatter their existence or end their lives entirely.
The content, if a person's done something very bad and evil and then they die, sometimes what happens is agents, I don't know what to call them, agents, spirits, guides, will say, we will give you a lifetime before you have to pay this karma off. And if in that lifetime, if you can produce good acts, then when you come back to repay this karma, it might be lessened. So sometimes you're given a chance. I mean, it happens in life. People are saying, you should have a jail sentence. We're going to, you know,
we're going to give you probation and
probation,
you know,
and you have a level of performance or some civics duties you do, and then we will lessen the or produce it as time served. The soul goes through the same thing. The soul is up for conviction and evaluation and judgment and sentence. So the sentence, people come back and they go, I've never gotten what I wanted in this life. All I've ever done was work for people. I'm poor, and I work harder than anybody from dawn to dusk, sometimes longer. I work 6 days a week. I really have no life. I have no real pleasure. I'm just here to work, and I really have nobody in my life to love me or anything. Now, that, in the estimation of karmic dialoguing, that could be, well, we have to go back to a previous lifetime, and you're serving this on the basis that it's going to help your soul, if not your body.
Right, rather than having an untimely death that they experience in that lifetime. That can be a better karma, to be working day after day. Not feeling loved and have a life that expires early, or lose somebody that you love and
well, then,
go through that life
then we get brokenhearted. Into the attitude of faith. Because if the person says, oh my God, well, I have great faith in spite of all of this. And if this is, when my body is deceased and my soul moves forward, if this lifetime is going to bring
enrichment,
gratitude to my soul, then I can do it. I can do it because I have such faith in the hereafter. And I believe in the levels of judgment and the evaluation of where the soul goes after a life is lived. So that can be of some compensation. It doesn't mean that life is going to be any better, but it does mean that the attitude that one has, maybe she'll take more pleasure in a dish of ice cream or on Sunday taking a walk in the park. I don't know. You know, maybe she'll take more delight in her work and just feel that it's a means to an end. But when people lack faith and they just assume that we have a life, it's lived, and then you die, and you're not getting any pleasure out of that life, then it becomes very dismal. So faith is an attitude that does help us carry through in terms of the karmic dimension, and also in terms of the attitude of how do we prompt a reading to make sense when there is so much difficulty in a person's life or complications and they lose everything. We know a person who's lost everybody in their family. She's got nobody, and she's all alone. There are many people who are all alone, living in trailers.
So we know a few people like that, to be honest. Yeah. We know a few people like that, but there are varying attitudes that those people carry.
Yeah.
I mean, varying attitudes. And there's one in particular that I'm thinking that's really positive. That really, I mean, that person has her negative dimensions for sure, and complains somewhat sometimes, and has anger, but generally has positive attitude, accepts a reading with grace and gratitude, and is positive about the outcome, and things work for her.
Yeah.
Then there are others that are really, really depressed and,
And complaining and going on and on and on, and they just, they listen, but it doesn't help. It gives, and even though as a reader, they're hearing it, but it's not really healing anything. It's not really redeeming anything. And, it's sad. But again, the composition of our brain have a secret world in it. And
right.
That world is about inspiration, faith, the ability to survive all ordeals.
Right.
When it's put into a severe test, like being in a concentration camp and losing your whole family and being tortured every day, and coming out, and you're 80 years old, and you're giving life lessons to young people, and you survived your ordeal, even though on your arm were tattoos of how you were identified. Now that's an attitude of energy. It that doesn't mean it was karma that they get to act this way. There's something beholden about the human spirit that transcends any given rating that a human being can give.
Right, and so keeping it, I think it's very important, therefore, to keep in mind that when we're on the earth, this is an impermanent state. We are not physical beings, really. We're, energy beings. And if you can endure what your karma is in this lifetime with a positive attitude and remember that your soul is eternal, then getting through whatever test and trial you have in this lifetime is going to be much easier.
Yeah, I mean, there's a matter, even in today's paper, there the Iran soccer woman from Iran who didn't allow women to witness soccer games, and she wasn't wearing her head properly covered and everything, and she was arrested. And given 6 months, this is in Iran, and given 6 months possible imprisonment for disobeying the Islamic laws, and she doused herself with gasoline and burned herself and died, and now there's a big outcry against women's rights and everything. The ordeal of maybe facing 6 months in prison, or setting oneself as an example and self-sacrificing oneself for a cause. I mean, this doesn't really get into the idea of a reading, but it gets into the idea of the energy of a person's life. Now, that person, I don't have
right.
to know her birth date or anything, but was that destiny? Was that her calling to do this?
You mean she came down to burn herself alive?
I don't know.
Was that a karma that she had to go through? But I mean, still, as a conscious human being, she has responsibility of destroying her own life. I mean,
well, sure,
that has to be evaluated.
Yeah, but that's a topic. But the other topic is, what is karma? What is destiny? What is accident? And what is predetermined behavior on the part of somebody if they want to really make a statement. And she's not the first one that's ever doused her body with gasoline and self-sacrificed herself for a cause. You know, I mean, it happens all the time. And there are people who are bullied on Facebook and stuff, on social networking, that are compelled to kill themselves because of the practice of being picked on and ridiculed, and the fear of going to school can be just as horrific as waking up in a concentration camp. Human abuse is human abuse. And yes, there's magnitudes of it, and there's different horrific circumstances, but whenever a human life is being abused on any level, it is in itself a crime. And it's hard to be, you can speak legitimately about the differences, but it's still the value of human life. When you're giving a reading, it's also about the value of human life. How does a person who does a reading for another human being have the ability to look into that person's life and read like in a textbook where there is no print, there's no writing, there's nothing but just energy. Basically what they would call cold readings, which I'm greatly opposed to in that terminology.
Right. We went over that last show. Warm readings.
But I think that, you know, we take it on the premise that every hair on your head can be read by God, and certainly a hair can be read by
DNA
analysis. But a sincere, talented, good psychic, since this is a psychic show, has to, if they have that gift to read a human being, God willing, they read it correctly, and they even help and enhance someone's life. But it's all about the vibrational sensation of putting an energy into a language, whether you go by numerology or whether you go by the human spirit itself.
I go ahead.
Oh, I wasn't cutting you off. You were signaling that we had no time.
No. I was signaling that we've had two calls, and who I thought it was not. So I don't know. Oh. I know we have someone later today. I hope they didn't get their appointment time wrong. But do you know Diane Carroll died?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
The black actress, the one that was Julia or somebody?
Yeah.
Oh, that's too bad.
Could have happened to all of us.
She was a pioneer. She was a certain pioneer in television.
Yeah, because she was
black consciousness.
Right.
Yeah.
At a time where there weren't probably many black actresses at all.
No. You know, we got to go way back to the Gone with the Wind.
She was 84 years old, so what would her birthday be? 1935. So in her prime, 1960s, 1970s, which was a time of, you know, social revolution.
Social revolution. And I think, since you got that, I think it was Ethel Waters. Was that the one?
Ethel Merman.
No, not Ethel Merman. Not that belting show business. But Ethel Waters, I think, was the one in Gone with the Wind. I think it was Ethel Waters, but I might be wrong. I know who exactly who it
I'll
is.
I'll look while you're...
But now she, I believe she was given the Academy Award for Best Supporting Actress. And I might have the name wrong, but I know exactly what I'm speaking of. She always played a nanny or a housemaid or something, but she was outspoken, and in her day and age had an attitude. She lived, you know, I mean, there was still prejudice around her, but when we talk about, since you brought up Diane Carroll.
Butterfly McQueen, Hattie McDaniel,
and that's the Waters, that was somebody else, another black actress and singer, Hattie McDaniel. Now, she really was a pioneer, but back then it was a rare exception. But even she was segregated at the Academy Awards. I don't think she was able to sit at the tables with the white people. I mean,
can you imagine?
Disgusting.
I mean, right. I can't, because it's not, you know, I wasn't around during that time zone. So
but,
it's appalling.
You know, and then they had the great dancers and the dancers that danced with Shirley Temple. I mean, but the fact that that we're in a world where we're not in exactly a safe. We don't live in a safe planet. More or less, an individual karma. We do not live in a safe planet, and part of our world is about survival of the fittest and cautionary, being cautionary and cautious. And a lot of times when people approach a psychic, the theme is, I want to be cautious. I'm uncertain about the unknown. I wouldn't be coming to you without it, unless somebody just wants to have a fun reading. Oh, I want to know about myself. What
well,
can you pick up?
You know, that's an interesting, bringing that up makes me think about how a reading is conducted insofar as tapping into someone's energy. For instance, some people want immediate answers from a psychic, you know, what's going to happen in this case or this scenario. But oftentimes, or most of the time, especially if it's an initial reading, tapping into that person's energy field, it has to happen. That means going back into their past and their current lifetime and getting validations, and even tapping into someone's immediate energy field in a reading where it's someone who's a regular client. You still have to hook into the energy. And sometimes people, especially certain types of people, get impatient with that type of, you know, going backwards. They say, I just want to hear about the future. Why are you talking about my past? But it's important.
And yes, there is a general region where you're hooking into somebody and trying to feel something out. Sometimes people will come for a reading and they sit down and I just will say something inadvertently and they go, oh, I was thinking about that on the way here. Oh, that
happened. Or I ate this for breakfast.
Yeah,
or, yeah.
I had that for breakfast. So when you're hooking into that, the details of being a psychic and giving an accurate reading, you can never underestimate any small detail because it leads to something large. Someone who, archaeologists or pathologists, paleontologists, who finds a little chip in the dirt, in the earth, and discovers that it's a fossil or a chipped piece of bone from a prehistoric animal. To them, that little piece can mean so much.
Right, there's so much information there.
Analysis in it. The same thing with the psychic reading, that the portions, the small items that we talk about can be significant in their value. And you never, I was giving a reading with a woman years ago, and I on the phone, didn't see the person, and I said, I'm seeing a small speck on your back. Oh, yeah, I have a small speck. I have a small speck. Go to the doctor right now. Go to the doctor. And they went. They didn't want to go, and then they go, well, okay. So they went, and it was ended up being cancerous.
Melanoma.
And they hadn't gone, it potentially would have killed them. And the doctor admitted this. Then the doctor, I think, came for a reading. But you see, small things, a good psychic won't
overlook
something small.
That's really important, obviously. Small does not necessarily mean unimportant.
Not by any means. I mean, Pasteur, can you imagine if he didn't look in his microscope? We have to think about what is really relative to the importance and value and the estimation of what it is to live a life, whether it's large or small. You just never know what those things are. And this is not astounding information. This is commonplace, common sense, old cliches that the small is in the large and vice versa. But what was our topic anyways before we
I don't know. While we were talking, I don't know if we really had a topic last time. We were talking about how to conduct a reading, and I guess we kind of got into that.
Well, I guess
we're on the topic. We are on topic, but we are also out of time. Yeah. So we're back on the air Wednesday. Hopefully we'll be able to connect successfully as we did today. That will be at 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 p.m. Eastern. Have a good weekend, everybody. Bye-bye.